from Eliezer. Good morning. Okay, for those watching from home, it looks like a new background. This is not fake. This is real. We are currently in a new spot due to renovations that the Ezra Hashem are going on here in Yeshiva. And thank everyone for their patience bearing with us. Right now, when you start, it's not patience yet, but we're sure it will come. So today's topic, we entitled the share Tu B'Shvat and Shemitah. And Shemitah is a topic that I've been wanting to talk about the entire year. This being a Shemitah year, so there are very important halachas that are nogea. For most of us living in Chutz La'aretz, living outside Eretz Yisrael, for the most part, we don't think twice about it. Every so often, I saw it a month ago, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, I saw a couple of these announcements from kashrus organizations. Beware, this produce you buy at Walmart, this stuff you get at Target, those are from Israel, and they have Shemitah issues. And you know, you don't necessarily pay attention when you're in the fruit store buying fruit necessarily on the label, what's the origin, where you're getting this from, or nowadays where a lot of fruits already pre-bagged. You don't necessarily look at the bag to see where it's from. But this year, definitely that itself is something people should pay attention and look about where the produce is from. Because if it's from Israel, we'll see soon, there's a good reason that one should avoid it. And unless they know for sure that that's free of any problems from Shemitah. Now, I've been waiting to give this share all year, and at a certain point, I said, okay, a target date, let's give this share before Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, we know, is the Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos, the Rosh Hashanah for trees, and there are different ways people celebrate Tu B'Shvat. I was speaking with the Chashava Talmud Chacham. I asked him, how do you celebrate Tu B'Shvat? You know what he told me? After Shmona Esrei, we go straight to Ashrei, no Tachman. That's the way probably most people celebrate Tu B'Shvat. No Tachnun. There is a Magen Avraham, I think in Kuf Lamed Aleph, Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, where there the Magen Avraham does bring down the idea of eating peros on Tu B'Shvat, eating fruits. The Magen Avraham does not specify what type of fruits. Sounds like from the Magen Avraham, you could just have an apple and fulfill the idea of Tu B'Shvat. Because Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos. It's the judgment day for fruits. So any fruits qualify. There is, though, this minog. I didn't track down the exact source of specifically eating fruits from Eretz Yisrael. Different things. I remember when I was a kid growing up in Brooklyn, in yeshiva, they would give out this brown bag, which inside it, you know, probably the ladies' auxiliary bagged it.
They did that in Jersey, too.
They did it in Jersey, too. This is an old nigga. So they had, like, a few things, a few dried, I don't know what, maybe a box of raisins. That's the only thing I was interested in as a kid. And then the baksa. This super hard, what's the English word for baksa?
Carob.
Carob tree. I remember those pieces were so hard. You know, they could have been left over from your days to my days. You know, adayom, the baksa. So that's what I do remember from Tu B'Shvat. And I think as a kid, I probably once tried to bite into it, but it probably didn't last on my childhood teeth. Yeah. So that's the remembrance. Fruit, eating fruit is something on to do on Tu B'Shvat, right? I guess some people would campaign for you to plant a tree on Tu B'Shvat. Okay, just don't do it in Israel this year. But I don't know what the JNF does during Shemitah. I hope they don't plant. But I I guess what I figure once we're at Tu B'Shvat, we'll talk in general about what Tu B'Shvat we could do this year with in terms of Shemitah, but obviously to have a broader discussion about the halachas of Shemitah, the relevance to us living here in America, and to appreciate Hilchos Shemitah hopefully a little bit more than we did coming into here. Now, I would dare say this year was probably the hardest year I had to prepare so far this year. It's very hard. What's so hard about Hilchos Shemitah? Well, let's begin. Where do you learn Hilchos Shemitah? Which chiluk of the Shulchan Aruch? Got four chalakim. Arachayim, Yerodea, Evan Azar, Choshen Mishpat. Where do you find Hilchos Shemitah in Shulchan Aruch? Multiple choice. The answer is none of the above. You cannot find Hilchos Shemitah anywhere in classic Shulchan Aruch. Where's David Kalundi? You can't find in the classic Aruch HaShulchan. There is a set of Svarim which are not so easy to find. The Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid, the futuristic Aruch HaShulchan. There you'd find the halachas of Shemitah. Halachas of Shemitah, part of Seder Zrayim, are not so easily found. We'll see soon. Okay, the Rambam went through those halachas, but post the Rambam, it wasn't codified and very hard to find. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has some. I mentioned the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid. The Chazon Ish wrote extensively on the halachas of, in general, Seder Zrayim, but extensively on Shemitah, and his halachas are definitely a major, major spot which the world relies on. There's also a fascinating set of Svarim, Derech Emunah, by Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky literally wrote a Mishnah Berurah, same style as the Mishnah Berurah, utilizing, since there is no Shulchan Aruch, utilizing on top the Rambam's halachos of, you know, all throughout, you know, before this is Bechorim, Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel. He goes through with extensive, like Perish, that's called Derech Emunah. He has long pieces entitled Bir Halacha, Shaar Tzion, Tzion Halachos. Similarly to what the Chafetz Chaim did for Aruch Chaim, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, did this for so many other areas of Halacha which are not clearly covered. So this is a tremendous resource. There's a lot here. And just even to think, how many mitzvahs are there? Okay? You own land in Eretz Yisrael. How many mitzvahs are there regarding the mitzvah of Shemitah? Three, four, five. If you look on your sheets, I copied the Rambam's Hakdama, his Psicha, to Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel. Yish beklolam shteim ve'esrim mitzvos. There are 22 mitzvos regarding Shemitah. 22 mitzvos regarding Shemitah. Teisha mitzvos asei, 9 of them are mitzvos asei, sholos asher mitzvos lo asei. Now, some of them are nogea directly, even outside of Eretz Yisrael. The later ones talks about loans, so we'll get there. Monetary loans, that we could have a shaychus even outside Eretz Yisrael, and that's nogea us.
Are these 23?
Yes.
So the big 6.
Right. This is a very important point you bring up, is that when we talk about 613 mitzvos, and the Chafetz Chaim writes about this in his Sefer HaMitzvos, that unfortunately are a lot of mitzvos that we are not able to do today. Now, these ones we are able to do, most of them, if not all, if we lived in Eretz Yisrael and we owned land. But there are many mitzvahs of the 613, you know, Talim Beis HaMikdash and Karbanos and all that, which we do have no shaychus to. I must preface, even these mitzvahs of Shemitah, most poskim hold, the dinim of Shemitah are connected with the dinim of Yovel. And since nowadays we don't have Yovel, so then the dinim of Shemitah are only midrabanan. Okay? But these mitzvahs are still what they are. And someone who owns land in Eretz Yisrael, that's a big deal. He has extra mitzvahs he could do. And I'm not here yet to give the plug for that, but there are many different organizations that offer a partnership with the farmers. You know, the farmers, they do survive on support from financial support from other Jews to make it through the year. And there are partnerships. There are different organizations that will actually sell you a plot in Israel that it's your land, and therefore the halachos of Shemitah, which are being kept, you get the credit for because you're not working the land.
Yovel's interesting in that we don't have to wait for the Mashiach. With the demographics, a larger percentage over time of Yidim in the world are moving to Eretz Yisrael, and when you simply have a majority, according to Moshe, those Yovel kicks in.
It sounds like you heard a share once on Yovel.
So right. We are moving in the direction of this happening.
Yes, but, you know, until they put out a kokore that Yovel is coming, you know, I wouldn't flinch. Yeah, I don't know. Right. Lots of Jews own apartments in Israel, but, you know, I don't know how it works exactly. Yes?
Can you perform all 23
today? So I was going through them. The Bati Iri Choma stuff, I'm not so sure. But, yeah, 22. But most of them, that's what I think, most of them, there's a good amount of them that you could, you know, by owning land in Israel and not planting it and not plowing it and not doing all different things there, you know, making it hefker, a person would be able to mekayim these mitzvahs. I know of people that for years, one of my rebbeim, I won't name him publicly here, but you might guess who, years ago, before they had these major organizations selling land in Eretz Yisrael, he was always buying land in Eretz Yisrael to have the schus of Shemitah. Yes. Also, when it means owning land in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't mean an apartment, you know, in Sanhedrin Merchevet. It means an actual field that, as a farmer land. So there are many Jews in Eretz Yisrael who don't have this mitzvah either. It's not enough.
It has to be farmed.
Huh?
It has to be farmed. You can't just own like a square foot of dirt and use it.
Good question. There is, let's say the land was never used for planting. Yeah, that's an interesting idea. Now, I can't even think of those terms because when I think about apartments in Israel, I think of apartments that don't have even that square little thing of dirt that you have in Brooklyn. You know, that don't have in Israel. But yeah, you know, I wonder, a guy who owns a nice duplex in, you know, in Netanya, and he has a little, he didn't plant his, you know, his grass there. But yeah, Mustama, he could have planted and didn't plant. I don't know if you have to be a farmer to begin with to get those.
What about like a window box or like one of those?
Oh, that's knockovs. Yes, that's. Okay, so that's trickier. Right, talking about plants in Israel.
Or flower pots.
There's a difference between the flower pot if it's getting somewhat yanuka, if it's gaining from the ground, there's a hole. The flower pot is the type that it could seep through. But yeah, it's on your windowsill on the fifth floor in an apartment in Ramat Gan. Yeah, I don't know that qualifies as, not so simple. Yes, so hold on. So these 22 mitzvos and of regarding Shemitah, not found in the Shulchan Aruch, definitely, definitely complicated stuff. So we're going to try to hit on as much as we can today, but really there are a lot of topics in here. I'll show you soon. There's one broader topic, which we could talk about at another date. So firstly, one simple question, one basic question. Who owns the land? Okay? We talk about Shemitah. It has to be land owned by a Jew. What about land owned not by a Jew? Would that be valid? There be Shemitah on that. You know, you have an Arab, he has his plot of land, and he grows his, you know, stuff over there.
That's the
actor. So what about that? So it's interesting, as I mentioned before, the Shemitah halachos, Chazon Ish, has a big impact on the halachos of Shemitah. And in Yerushalayim, perhaps outside of Bnei Brak, for the most part, what I found is people are mekel, and they do not consider land owned by a non-Jew for those fruits to be considered perishrius. So technically speaking, if you would buy fruit from some Arab, which known, I guess the Arab has a, you know, you have to know these things are legit, and not that the Arab, you know, got it from some secular Israeli that gave him produce and he's, you know, knocking it off as if, you know, it's his own field. But if you have some hechsher that this clearly, you know, you see your next door neighbor, no, this Arab guy that he owns this plot and he plows it and he gives you, you know, farmer's market, he's selling you this stuff. So then the halacha would be many poskim allow for that to be consumed without any dinim of Peres Shvias. If you look on the top of your sheets, corner there, I have part that is the Chazon Ish in Seder Zrayim, Hilchos Shemitah Siman Chaf, where he has an extensive piece, this is just the first paragraph, where the Chazon Ish comes out Lahachmer. And the Chazon Ish says that even produce grown in Israel by an Arab, on a field owned by an Arab, recognize that the Arab owns it, would not undo the halachos of Shemitah. It would still apply, and therefore, the same way if you somehow got produce from a Jew, there would be an issue. There would be an issue with a Gentile too. So it's interesting. Of what I found in Bnei Brak, where in general Bnei Brak keeps the psakim of the Chazon Ish, so there they would not accept that. But other parts of Israel, they would. It's very interesting, right? You got to know where you live, who the posik is, but the Chazon Ish, you live in Bnei Brak, the Mishpacha. Halacha is, they would still treat that as Peres Shvias to be Machmer. But outside, Gemara cup, something that's jointly owned by the guy and the Jew. So, right, you'll tell me that the Jew sells it to the guy during Shemitah, they make it the arrangement. That leads us into our next topic. One of the famous issues, which I'm just going to touch on, and really this also deserves its own share, is the idea of what about a heter mechira, right? It's coming up soon on the calendar. Not so soon, but, right? Pesach, we all know how to get rid of your chametz. Oh, a great idea. You sell it to a guy. So what about, can I sell my land to a guy? If, according to many poskim, there's no problem of Peres Shvias if it belongs to a guy. So why don't we, all the Jews, sell their land during Shemitah to the Goyim? It works for Chametz. Chametz is a big Yisurim. So why don't we do it for Shemitah? No? Great idea? This actually was the idea of the Kovna Rav, or the Yitzchak HaChanan Spector, in the year 1887, he produced such a heter for the farmers living in Eretz Yisrael. Now, at the time, in 1887, this was quite controversial. In fact, he was attacked by none other than the Netziv. The Rosh Yeshiva of the Velazhin Yeshiva was very upset at the Pesach of the Kovna Rav, and disputed him, says, no such thing. And part of the argument centered around the fact, do you have the right to sell Jewish land to a Gentile in Israel? Can you trade land for pieces of food? Right? I'm not going into that topic, just alluding to it, though. Can you sell land for pieces of fruit? Is that allowed? Not so simple, right? So That's a big dispute between the Kovner Rav and Netziv. And through the ages, the Israeli rabbinate, led first by Rav Kook, but through the ages, their official halachic political position was that you could sell the land to Gentiles under multiple different clauses, and that is what's done. That being said, it creates a mess for people who do not accept this mechira, that if you're eating produce in Israel this year, and the produce is coming from a farm which was sold to a guy, is that acceptable or not? And there's a very strong majority of people, you know, in the Torah world that do not accept such a thing. It actually creates quite a bit of havoc, right? You could have relatives that accept the rabbinate and accept that, and they invite you over to your house for Shabbos, right? You're in Israel, you're invited over to this relative of yours' house for Shabbos, and now you have issues. What are your issues? Well, the fruits they're going to give me might be Peres Shvias. What about this? It may not just apply, right? You know, when they, if they serve fruit in the beginning of a meal, they'll make a nice pepper stick. Where are those peppers from? That makes issues really in almost anything you eat, right? Especially Israel, very into their fruits, vegetables, beans. Oh my, that it's something that, you know, has to keep in mind. If they want to be nizer, if they want to be careful from Shemitah, and they're not going to accept the ruling of allowing to sell the land of Israel to Goyim, then you have to know, do people keep Rabbanut Kashrus, or are they keeping the Adas, you know, Haredi? Different things. Yes. Excellent. Really correct. These issues apply to wine. But, and here's something, I'm going to say this again later, but let me say this now. If you're having something which is older wine, you have nothing to worry about, right? Most of the time, you're not getting freshly pressed wine. Though I did have a Rebbe of mine who actually made his own wine, and it was pretty freshly pressed. Canarics itself would make his own wine. And yeah. Yes, it's very important. This is it came up in Beis Medrash the other night. People think once the seventh year is finished, the clock strikes 12 on Rosh Hashanah, Tufshin Pei Gimel, it's no longer Shemitah year. Another mistake. Shemitah gives the produce that's grown that year Kedusha. You know when that Kedusha goes off? Never. That Kedusha is eternal. So that means if you have a nice wine 4 years from now that was made from grapes during the Shemitah year, you have a problem. So that does require people, wine drinkers, you have to know the hashkacha on wine. If it's Israeli wine, that's where you're going to run into these issues. You know, Baruch Hashem, we always want to support Israel, right? Harvey, you're not into BDS, right? Chas v'shalom, right? Just the opposite. I have a choice of buying a French wine or Israeli wine. We should buy the Israeli wine with a strong hashkacha. Because if you're going to buy a wine which does not have a strong hashkacha, then you're constantly going to run into Shemitah issues. And that's the story the Mashgiach told of in the Pesach Hotel throwing out cases of wine. Okay, shh. No incriminating. No self-incrimination. But yeah, that's something to keep in mind. Wine from Israel, you have to know the Hashkacha. You have to know where the wine is coming from. It's very, very important. Yes?
So the bar or phrase, there's no work around that. I mean, if the produce, the grapes came, were grown during
Shemitah. Correct. It connect. You could right. Well, I'm going to get to some of the practical laws in a minute, but simply put, yeah, that can't be sold.
So what is Carmel? What is Carmel?
It's a great question. I would hope the answer is that they keep all the Hilchos Shmita, they don't sell it to Goyim, and they subside on 6 years worth of grapes.
So,
you know, that's what I would hope. To produce their wine, but I don't know. No, so I'm saying it's not only during Shemitah, right? It's not only during the seventh year; it's all the time, because when were the grapes made? When was that wine made? It's going to be an issue next year, the year after, all the time. So, we encourage people. Take me as a BDS guy. Rabbi Kier is saying, do not buy Israeli wine products. Gosh, I'm going to get stoned. Right? They're going to come after me. I'm pro buying Israeli products, providing they have valid hechsherim. Right? I've told you, I have trauma from Israel. I told you my story of Pesach. We went to the Makolet, we bought chametz on Pesach. It was great. Right? Never told the story? My family, we were in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. My mother-in-law sent me to the market to go buy. She didn't send me. I think she bought it. I found it. She went to the Makolet and she bought a package of hot dogs. What could go wrong with hot dogs? Well, it depends what the fillers are. She bought it on Chol Hamoed Pesach in the Makolet in a Haredi neighborhood.
In the Nabisco suite?
And no. And we looked at the package and it had wheat in it. It was a mixture, it was taruvos chametz. So they sent me to the Rav, to discuss it with him. So I says, yeah, ze chametz. So I said, what's going on? Ze haaretz, ze makom charedi. To find that in a makolet, right in the Haredi neighborhood, he looks at me with, you know, his Israeli toughness. You know, oh, ein ze kushya. Shana shavra, hey mochrim beer b'pesach. Last year they're selling beer on Pesach. Like in Israel, in some ways, hashgacha is like the Wild West, right? You think, oh, I'm in Israel, everything is kosher, right? It's similar to Rabbi Yaakov, I'm in Israel, no one has to raise their kids, and grow up in the streets. No, you need more vigilance probably in hashgacha in Israel than you might need over here in America. And people, you have to know the situations. You know, there's so much going on there. You know, this heter mechira is one very practical thing. Is there are tons and tons of fields and farms all throughout the land of Israel, and the amount of those farms that keep the halachas of Shemitah, unfortunately, are probably still in the minority. That's the sad truth. Every year they make campaigns and they convince more and more farmers to keep Shemitah, but unfortunately, you know, it's a battle. I wouldn't say a losing battle, but it's a battle, and you know, it's a shame. You know, Shemitah, and we can't judge these people. Shemitah is a tremendous, tremendous challenge. We'll talk about that later too. But okay, there's a lot here. Hold on, let me move further. I want to go through five different areas of practical issues regarding fruits from Eretz Yisrael. Now, before I get there, there's one more point. Let's say you get, we're going to pass through my checklist of five things, there's really more things, but let's say you get through the checklist and you have Peru Shvius accessible. Is there a mitzvah to eat those Perus now? So there's a Ramban, there are Shitas, Magen Avraham brings, that there's a mitzvah to eat Peru Shvius. Okay? On the one hand, if you're the owner of the field, so you can't work the field, you can't do this, you can't do that, but stuff that's grown, the results of previous work, one could eat, and if anything, there'll be a mitzvah. That's the opinion of many. Chaim Kanievsky brings the Chazon Ish. If you look in Os Gimel, Derech Emuna, Ayin B'Derech Emuna, She'evi'anu Das Maron, I bring Das of the Chazon Ish, that's Maron. She'ein mitzvah b'achilas peres shvius. That Chazon Ish holds, there is no mitzvah to eat the peres shvius. Let it rot. Don't eat it. There's no such mitzvah. Okay? Not so simple. Paul Shpatelli is arguing with the Magen Avraham and the Ramban. Okay? Tries to defend it. But there are scenarios that one could potentially be eating peres shvius. What are those scenarios? How's it come about? So let's go through a few practical halachas. There's one important halacha that comes up, the Isser of Svichim. That means is Shemitah doesn't just apply to the fruits of a tree. There's an Isser, Pashup Shah we hold is an Isser Darabanan, not to eat vegetables, beans, legumes, that even grow by themselves. There are many things, you don't have to work the field for them to grow. They just grow by themselves. So those things are also included in the Isser of Shemitah, and thus one has to be very careful about that. Now practically, okay, so look, if someone owns a field and they're not working the field, and the produce is hefker, so I could just go to the field, take off an orange. All I have to do is Baruch Atah Hashem, get him al chalom, Baruch Priya Hates. It's mine. Practically, that doesn't work that simply. Because the farmers rightfully are nervous that it's a whole malacha to take things off a tree. And if you just allow the masses to come in, right? Grab and go, they're gonna damage the trees. And even the idea of you could eat peres shvius, you could eat enough for yourself. You can't take back for your whole block. You can't take back to sell, obviously. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So there's a concept which sounds like it's pretty well done in Israel called Otzer Bezdin. Is what happens is, very interesting arrangement, something the Chazon Ish was heavily involved in setting up, is you have sort of a rabbinic store. The Bezdin of, let's say, each community sets up representatives and makes deals with Shemitah observant farmers, where they could even use the farm workers, which normally work the field, have them take the fruit off the field. You pay a nominal fee for the work that the farmers are doing, but you're not paying at all for the fruit. You're going to pay for the workers, for the distribution, whatever you need, the trucking, okay, supply chain issues. We'll have to pump up the price for shipping. But all you're paying for are the workers to take the fruit off the field, the logistics of getting that from the field to you, and you're paying should be a much cheaper rate of what you normally pay for fruit. You're going to pay this year during Shemitah to access that fruit from the Otzer Bezdin. That is commonly now in Israel how people get their fruit. They're not going to people's backyards and taking. Rather, there's a system of an Otzer Bezdin, which is distributing that peros to a rabbinically approved store to sell. And they're not selling it as to make a profit. They're just paying the minimal fees for the work involved. That's what goes on, and that's practically how people get it. Now, that itself is a sight to see. If you'd be in Israel to find some of these spots and see how they do it, and to check the prices, and to, check the tu'udah, which, you know, that this Bezdin is being run well, versus it's a heter mechira. We don't, not looking for that. You're looking for this is an Otzer Bezdin, fine. That would be okay. I saw some kashrus organizations go scan. Sometimes you'll see they set in bottles of wine when they talk about the heter. You know, in the kashrus, we were talking one before about bottles of wine. Sometimes you'll see on it Otzer Bezdin. Now that's tricky, because really these types of things, this is for use in Israel. They shouldn't be exporting this to America, because we don't need this in America. We'll get other fruit. Why are they exporting it to America? To make a profit. That's not allowed. This Otzer Bezdin system, it was designed to work locally for people to have what to eat in Israel. So it shouldn't be exported. If you find on a bottle of wine that kashrus, Otzer Bezdin, that should be a shtickle red flag. What's Otzer Bezdin? Why are they selling me a $50 bottle of wine? Why are they selling it over here in America? That's just for Israel. Now, one big exception which the Rabbanim allow to be sold in America, which fruit did the Rabbanim allow from Israel to be sold in America through Otzer Bezdin? Esrogim. And that's a big topic unto itself. How to deal with esrogim next year, because that's going to be the issue. Right? The esrogim that we're going to use this coming year, Shavuos, that Sukkos, are esrogim that were grown during Shemitah. So there is a concept of an Otzer Bezdin allowing that to be exported. That will be an exception. We'll export those esrogim. We'll get them. But here's the thing. What are you paying for? Oh, just the nominal fee for taking it off the tree, putting it, you know, in shipping it here to America. How expensive could an esrog be? So they have all different ideas nowadays. You know, somehow the price of the other three minim skyrockets during Shemitah.
Esrog goes down?
Huh? You can't charge for the esrog, simply. Now, there is a line, the Chazon Ish, if you look in the second line of Derech Amun in the other piece. It's amazing when Chaim Kanievsky's understanding, when he put together the Sefer, so he knew the entire Chazon Ish backwards and forwards. Chazon Ish, those halachic svarim are so many pages, so much things he writes. He writes, a kasama run, kasher choshev is mechira esrog, when you calculate the price of an esrog, kibachol shana, mishkach hazin in mitzvah shvita. So I'm not even sure how to read that line. It sounds like he's saying, calculate, forgetting the idea of Shemitah. Is he telling you positively to do that? Was he telling people that he's pointing out a problem that they forget about Shemitah? I'm not even clear exactly what he means. But here's a tricky step. So I looked at the source. Okay, where did he find this from the Chazon Ish? It's not in the writings. It's not in the regular Chazon Ish. This is in the Kovitz Igeris Chazon Ish, in the letters of the Chazon Ish. Chaim Kanievsky knows every little, you know, word of Torah that ever came out of the Chazon Ish's mouth. Chaim Kanievsky is holding in. So that's what he's quoting. He's quoting Kovitz Igeris Chazon Ish. But it's a whole share. It's a whole complicated how to work out the price for an esrog, how to get an esrog. Complicated, not so simple. Let's say you get from an Otzer Bezdin, you get these perishvias. How are you allowed to use them and cook them? If you look in the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, in the Oz Gimel, he writes, Dover Shadarko Lecho Chai Yol Yechenu Mevushal. Something which you normally eat this fruit raw, you don't cook it, you're not allowed to cook it. The way you treat perishvias has to be exactly the normal way that these things are treated. You're not allowed to change the manner of how you do things. That's one of these practical halachas of shvias. Another very important halacha. You look at the, and this is major, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch before this. Klipos v'garninim ha'omdim lamotz osam. Oshel machal behema o tzviya. the seeds, the shells, the peel. They have kedusha of shvius. That means, practically speaking, you're eating an apple, and you know, different people have, you know, not everybody, you know, eats the apple absolutely to the core, right? You finish it, and, you know, there's apple still left on it. That apple is holy. That's kedusha shvius. Can you just throw that in the garbage? If you're eating perish shvius, you have to know how to get rid of it. And it can be quite complicated. You have to wrap it up. Ideally, you have to wrap it up. You have to wait till it rots, and then you can throw it away. But you can't just, okay, you know, there's a guy coming to clean the tables afterwards. Let him take care of it. You know, half eaten the apple, right? Toss it into the garbage, right? Toss it, right? No. Can't just do that. My wife remembers, she was in seminary the year of Shemitah year. She remembers in her seminary, they had like a special garbage pail for Shemitah stuff. You had to, if you're eating Perish Shvius, you had to go to this garbage, which is specifically set aside for that. So they would take care of it. They would wrap up those bags. But you're dealing with holy things there. Till now, I don't know, have some oranges. Have some grapes. Shemitah year, the produce is holy. And you have to treat it differently. Yes?
Banana peels, orange peels, you have to peel.
Oh, what about the peels too? So I'm not sure. I believe so. Those also you have to be careful with. And you have to treat it properly. Right. And sure, it's Machal Behema. There are definitely things people could do with it. Yeah. You see? Are there what? No. You definitely, anyone has a chance to support Israel, see? Mr. BDS. Of course you should go to Israel. No. You could eat fruit providing that it's checked out. There's an Otzer Bezdin. You know the basic halachas. You're familiar with these things. And, yeah.
You're going to finish the whole thing.
Now, one important thing. We were talking before about all these things. What should one do on Tu B'Shvat? So, it's brought down in Sefer Tamim Minhagim that Tu B'Shvat, which is coming up tonight, tomorrow. Tu B'Shvat, a person should daven for a good esrog. It's brought down in Sefer Tamim Minhagim that Tu B'Shvat is the day you daven for a good esrog. All these chassidish and maisalach of like some like kid that no one had a good esrog in the whole town, and one guy, one kid somehow ended up with the best esrog, and they didn't know what to do. They asked the rebbe because whatever he took, it was the mocher made a mistake about it. So the rebbe looked at him. He said, I could see he davened well on Tu B'Shvat. He deserves it. But there, of all the years, especially a Shemitah year, we don't know what's going to be. You want to make sure that you get a kosher esrog, not a lemon, like you have to daven every year, but daven that it's an esrog that's kosher v'yosher, Hilcha Shemitah were applied well, and everything done right. That's definitely something to do. But just to sign off, and then we'll take any other questions. But when you go through these halachas and you see, it's a different world. I have to be careful with my scraps of my fruit. Yeah, because it's holy. These farmers, you look at these guys, in their blue jeans, Farmer Joes. A farmer who keeps Hilcha Shemitah is a holy man. He's a hero. That's somebody who, is literally giving up his livelihood, sitting back, watching, unfortunately, his neighbor's fields being worked on, and just having faith, having emunah, that by not working, everything's going to turn out okay. And, there are those amazing stories of the farmer who kept Shemitah, and, you know, his crop, he got a bump, amazing crop the following year, and his neighbor who didn't, you know, they got destroyed. There are those superhuman, amazing stories. Cooper Air sells them all the time. But, you know, for many people, it's not easy, and it's a struggle, and they don't see the amazing success. But the mice, they did the right thing. And whatever support we could give to Shemitah farmers, it really is an amazing thing they undertake. And halvai, we should all be in the land of Israel and all have our own vineyards to plant, and on the years of Shemitah, not to plant. And Be'ez Hashem, we should come the day, we should all be in Israel, drink the grapes of the land, and sit back in shalom v'shalva. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful week.